with the Black Student Union at the college and were part of organizing some of the very first Black Lives Matters protest on the St. Mary's campus. So would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just want to shout out to all my friends who are listening. They were a part of those movements for sure. And I was really afraid, especially because I was going to a predominantly white institution. And I thought, well, anything could happen. They could kick me out. I could lose my scholarship at like any moment, you know, because of this. And not to shade St. Mary's College or anything, but like that's just, I feel like it's a fear of Black students who are activists anyway. You know, you don't know what's going to happen if you step out, and you have to step out on faith and hope that you'll be okay after you decide to make your voice be heard. So we started with die-ins in the dining hall. We started with protesting during finals week. We were protesting. I remember an epic protest where we shut down a jazz concert and we made a parent very upset that we were interrupting her child's
performance.
But, you know, social justice doesn't stop for anyone, and I think that that was our fuel to the fire to keep going even if we make people upset. So we had another movement called In the Silence, which was even more epic as well, because it was to have more diversity conversations with staff and faculty because students didn't feel safe in class. And so how are we going to change the system in order to make professors go through diversity training through our intercultural center on campus? So that was a big deal. And a lot of us were labeled as, you know, those angry kids at SMC. Why don't they just go somewhere else? But we were like, that's not what activism is. It's loving where you're at and being willing to fight for it because you want it to be better for somebody else.
Right. So, yeah. And one other thing also that you've shared with me, I hope that's okay that I share that you shared with me that you've been taught that it's okay to make white people uncomfortable.
Yes.
So because you said you were labeled an angry kid, and I was like, but you absolutely were, you know, legitimately angry, and it is okay that you made all of these white folks uncomfortable.
Totally. And I feel like to the end of my days, I will be making white people upset. And it's honestly,
well, you haven't upset me yet.
For me, it's out of love, honestly, because I think that without those lessons and without being called out, then we can't get to our greatest point of humanity. And I think that we have to make each other upset in order to, you know, tell each other, okay, you're wrong, and this is how you can be right. You know, you're so funny. That's okay. I say it out loud all the time.
good. So tell me about how you feel that you will impact then the Kibu News and public affairs and evening public affairs programming. Bringing all of this into the picture.
Totally. I think that I joke about that. I think I joked about this with you before, but you know, I was like, you know, I have an agenda. And I have a Black and brown and LGBT and freedom of religion agenda. And I want everyone to know that. I don't want to be...
I think that's also Kibu's agenda.
Totally. So like, it is. And it fits perfectly. That's why I'm so happy here. Because, you know, that... And I want to uphold that. And I want to make sure that I keep that safe with all the work that I do, from getting supplies or checking Zoom microphones that are portable, and from greeting people at the door. Like, that's what I want. And curating news and the type of news that's created and who creates the news, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to uphold the mission of KBOO to that, to the best of my ability.
Great.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. So, well, and so you started last night in a very epic fashion.
Oh, I did.
As I said, this is only your second week on the job. Uh-huh. And so tell us a little bit about what you experienced when you helped produce a 6-hour special for the elections last night.
Look. God was on my side last night, because anything and everything that could happen happened, and that's just how news is. But election night news is just, we made pie charts, we mapped things out, and shoot, by I want to say like after the half hour, we just trashed all of that.
Wild.
And I was nervous because I had plenty of nightmares before then too, mm-hmm. of things going wrong, like batteries dying and things like that for people who are off site. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make it special. And not only was I wanting, you know, the crew to see my work ethic, but I wanted to prove to myself that I could produce that in 6 hours, you know. Mm-hmm. So it turned out really well. Yeah. And yeah.
There's a lot of excitement.
There is so much excitement.
There's a lot of great news.
Oh my gosh. Oh, oh, I was very excited to hear Joanne Hardesty won. And yeah. I just want to say I'm very excited. And I know she's going to do a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Exciting.
<news. laughs> Yeah. I was kind of by myself when I figured it out. And it was kind of really hard to contain.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I think
I just jumped and like started screaming.
So you also have a passion for music. I would love, and for hip hop. I love if you could talk a little bit about that and the podcast that you have been producing with your friend.
Yeah. So shout out to my friend Janelle Parrish, who has created and produced and curated this wonderful podcast called New Music Mondays. And it's where she and I would we'd get together and see and talk about the new music that was out. And we would discuss like art and like the genre or cover art and things like that. And so, and she and I both have a long history with the love of hip hop and R&B. And I believe that hip hop is the fuel to Black Lives Matter, to any movement that pertains to marginalized.
That.
You know, I think that I want to say more so like the starts of hip hop was really about, you know, calling out police brutality, mm-hmm. and calling out the wrongs that were committed on Black people. And it shifted to more people of color, because people of color who were non-Black were like, hey, like this is something that I can relate to, and this is how I can express myself in a way that's not, you know, commercialized or anything like that. And hip hop has evolved to be more commercialized, but what's cool is that a lot of artists have been able to use that platform to talk about injustices and things like that. So right. I always say, like, I hold true to hip hop, even through its evolutions of like trap and things like that. I mean, some people don't even get trap, but I still put it in the history books because it's somebody's way of expressing their struggle.
Right.
So yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the show? Is there a place where folks can find it?
Yeah, folks can go to SoundCloud and type in New Music Mondays. Be sure to put apostrophe S because there's a lot of Monday music people out there. It's funny. So you can find it there, and you can find some of our old podcasts, and you can hear us chit chat and spill tea mm-hmm. about what we think about music.
Yeah. And we are going to get to listen to one of the tracks that you are you have been listening to lately.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about mm-hmm. that. But before we do, I was wondering if, first of all, you would share a little bit about where you see, you know, radio and especially like folks of your generation and generations younger fitting within the picture of radio, because I feel that that for a lot of people it is, you know, I'm just so thrilled to hear that radio has been such an integral part of your life, as well as solar panels, for a very long time. You know, and so I'm just wondering, how do we continue to jazz up young people mm-hmm. about radio in this way?
Totally.
I think solar panels.
Yeah. Well, everyone should be with the fight of sustainability, because our world is crashing and we need to pay attention to mm-hmm. environmental justice, because environmental justice is racial justice as well. So tidbit of that, I think that young people are very tired of commercial radio. In my radical mind, I think that commercial radio needs to fade away, and I think that young millennial people should grasp onto the grassroots of community radio. This is a place where, you know, it's uncensored, but like you know, no cursing, of course, mm-hmm. not goodness. But I think that
the government does censor us in some way.
Definitely. But I think that there is a movement of young people that are tired of the norms and they want to find new ways to express themselves in activism. And I think that community radio is where young people need to be and young people need to uphold and uplift it, because the change of the system begins here and it begins with the media. But what kind of media are you listening to? What type of media are you allowing into your headspace? And that's the start of changing the system for me, is through community radio.
Yeah, and for me, that's also the piece where I feel Kebu needs to pay a whole lot of attention, you know, mm-hmm. is to be able to create the space for those voices,
yeah,
you know.
Totally.
To be on there and to be able to, because I do agree with you that, you know, commercial radio just really has something, you know, now, you know, in the world of streaming or when you can create your own playlist, who would want to listen to the same track again and again and again?
Yeah.
With just some really loud commercials.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Commercials are loud. They're bad quality. I hear the same song every 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, there's so much more music out there. And I don't want young people to be hooked on, you know, just like, you know, something that isn't as great as independent music or non-mainstream, you know what I mean? So
And how do we make that music even available,
exactly,
and folks aware of it?
Yeah, musicians who, you know, give out free music and have community radio play it so that they don't have to be charged money for their free music, right? Like, I believe in the independent artists for sure. I think that it slows capitalism, you know what I mean? So like, if we don't put our money in mainstream or non-independent music, then we can really like make a difference. Mm-hmm. I totally believe in that. Like, a lot of people don't believe in that. They think that we're fine the way we are and this is the way that mainstream makes their money, so why not take it down with your dollars, right? I think that would be good.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. And you know, as you are thinking about this, I'm just thinking about our new Give Guy campaign, which is Music is the Movement.
Yes.
You know, and how we are actually talking about some of these things and how you know, how also music has helps, you know, us frame, you mm-hmm. know, the issues of our time,
exactly.
You know, as you just talked about hip hop and mm-hmm. and Black Lives Matter and mm-hmm. all of those things kind of interconnecting.
Totally. Yeah. And R&B for sure.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion, hip hop wouldn't be what it is without R&B.
Of course.
So.
Of course. Which wouldn't be what
Facts.
It is before without blues and jazz.
Exactly.
And all of
okay.
it. And gospel and all of it.
Let them know.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So let's talk about how can people connect with you. Would you share your email address?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you know, and any other ways that you feel people, again, maybe remind your podcast.
Totally. Yeah. Definitely check out SoundCloud. I'm on there. You'll see my face, my wide eyes and big smile. You can also email me with any of your comments or questions regarding the news or programming at KBOO at newsdirector@KBOO. And you can also type in Rachel@KBOO. I'll get both email messages.
Yeah, at KBOO.FM or KBOO.org. Work. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And so, Rachel, what is the song that we're going to listen to?
This song is a brand new song by an artist named Nao, spelled N-A-O. And I was introduced to Nao by one of my really good friends back in California. Shout out to Nakia Gibbs. Thank you so much for introducing me to Nao. She's probably one of my favorite, one of my favorite R&B artists like of all time, because she just really like she's really dope, and she just like uses those roots of R&B, and like I just know that she is not willing to be commercialized and she's going to stay true to the music. And every time I listen, I feel like a little kid listening to an old Brandy disc or an old like Monica CD or something like that. She's just really the real deal. So this song is from her new album called Saturn, and it's called Make It Out Alive with Sir.
Good. And folks, this has been News from the Boo. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. Mike Crenshaw will be your host next week, and Kitchen Table Conversation is next, so stay tuned.
Hope I swing good, fuck the deal. If I fall, I'ma take it down like a pill. Why you show me that cold love? Hate to chill. Pressure down my spine. Oh yeah, it's all good. It's not real. It's 4-9. It's all nothing. Yeah, yeah. And maybe you'll find a way to keep me afloat when I can't. 'Cause you know I won't. 'Cause you know I'll. All too deep to get out of here. Too deep to get out of here. House burned down to the fucking ground. I don't even care now if I make it out. Can't get out my head, it's the atmosphere. Colors change, blue grass like a luminous. I'm too deep to get out of here. Too deep to get out of here. How do we make it out? Shit and leave me furthermore in the dark with this pressure. Is it over yet, my dear? Call on God, maybe tires and cars deliver me from fear.
I know something, she says something. Orange, yellow, white, and red. I keep waiting, smoking, praying that I won't fall out of heaven. No.